T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Smokey Robinson. He is celebrating his 80th birthday today. And so he is your artist of the day. Hey, don't forget, we're at Bogey's Windy City Pub this Friday, 2-6.
Not looking to make this a topic, but did you see the trial of 76-year-old Robert Durst is starting in Los Angeles this week? And I only mention that because if you saw that documentary, the one at the very end where he's still mic'd up and he goes into another room
he goes into the bathroom.
He's still mic'd up, so they're still recording or listening. They didn't find the audio clip until later. I think an intern found it. Mm-hmm. He's still mic'd up and says something to the effect of,
"What do you think I did? Of course I killed them.
Of course I killed them.
Yeah.
Of course I killed them." And he's muttering and mumbling, but sort of admits that he has killed these people. He's accused of, I think, killing 3 people in his life.
He's accused of killing, he's on trial for killing his girlfriend.
Right.
But he has long been suspected of killing his ex-wife.
People just kept dying around this man.
His late wife.
Even the judge said, this is going to be one interesting trial, and asked the jurors to understand that it could take up to 5 months to get through this trial. There's no way that's a jury of your peers if you can find 12 people who can stop their lives
for 5 months.
For 5 months.
Yeah.
Why does it have to take 5 months? Just play the tape. I mean,
well, but
now he doesn't say I killed her on this date. Okay, everyone, I killed her. He doesn't say it.
What he does say is, what did I do with them? And I'm paraphrasing, but it's close enough to be dangerous. He says, what did I do with them? Of course I killed them. That's what he says. And he goes into the bathroom with the microphone. He was doing a TV interview. And he goes into the bathroom with the microphone still on his shirt.
God, he's so weird. Look at him. He's got those black. Do you remember how dark black coal his eyes are? It almost looks like something you'd see in a horror movie. And I can still remember he has this weird voice. Okay. I killed them all. Don't you remember that voice? I mean, it's something out of a horror movie. It really is.
Is Sam in there or did he have to run out?
He ran out to use the restroom. Okay. The name of the documentary, if you missed it, it was on HBO, is The Jinx.
Yeah, I remember that.
And his first wife vanished more than 3 decades ago, and then another woman died, and then another woman died. Here it is. What the hell did I do? He whispers to himself.
Well, no, what the hell did I do? Question mark, because he's repeating the question.
What the hell did I do? Yep. He says, I killed them all, of course. Now, his attorneys are going to say, well, he didn't really mean he killed them all, but he killed them. Come on. Wasn't one of them found in like a bag at the bottom of a lake?
Sam, can you get the audio? Who is it? Robert
Durst. D-U-R-S-T.
Is his first name Robert? Is that right?
Yeah.
Robert Durst?
Yes.
Robert Durst, where he says, I killed them all.
Of course.
Of course.
Killed them all, of
course. And it's grainy audio, to say the least.
No, it's not that grainy.
Well, no, you're right. It's not that grainy. But any attorney worth their salt.
Why would you say that if you didn't do it?
Maybe he did. Prove it.
Come on.
Listen here, Nancy Grace.
Come on.
If you're,
I don't know how they found a jury that could be impartial. I honestly don't, because everyone watched that documentary.
Everything about this case, and I was watching a story on it today, everything about this case is circumstantial.
Yeah.
They got no physical evidence. None.
Kill them all. Of course.
God, that creepy voice. It's been a long time since I've seen that documentary, but I remember that voice.
It sounds like the hyped up audio on one of those ghost shows.
What did I do?
Session.
What the hell did I do? Kill them all. Of course.
He's taking a pee.
Yeah, and normal people who've never committed mass homicide
that's
constantly
not,
when they're urinating say things like I killed them all.
I understand. And yes, I think this is bad for him. Are you arguing that's admissible evidence? You, of all people.
Of course it's admissible evidence. The whole world saw it. And he said it.
Dana, guess what I've done?
He agreed, Scott, like an idiot, to do that documentary. Dana. And any attorney would say, don't do something like that,
Dana,
because you're likely guilty and you might say something incriminating. He said something incriminating. You got to live with that.
Dana, I've killed 5 people in my life.
You are looking at me facetiously,
yes,
and I can see you say it during a conversation where it makes sense that you are joking.
I'm not joking.
He was by himself.
I have killed 5 people in my life.
Why would you say that out loud when you think you're alone and you think no one is listening?
All I'm saying is, and you of all people who have covered 1,000 trials as I have, you're telling me that's admissible evidence? Give me a break.
Guilty.
Of course.
What more do you need? They have the guy saying I killed them all. There are 3 women who are dead. What do you think he was talking about?
He wasn't.
Chickens?
He was talking to a toilet.
Well, I think he went in there and was just mad about the fact that he just sat and did this interview. And they kept pressing him over and over again.
Did you see it when it came out?
No, I just watched the video.
Man, it's creepy.
It is creepy, and I think he did it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be confused with somebody who thinks Robert Durst, this super billionaire or whatever from Los Angeles, didn't kill these women, including his ex-wife or his former wife or whatever, and his girlfriend, and maybe 2 other women.
So weird. Everyone you've ever dated dies.
Yeah,
I mean, he is either the unluckiest SOB who has ever walked the earth, or he's guilty and admitted it.
Agreed.
And I need to look up a more recent story. One of the older New York Times articles said there were legal experts saying they were not sure whether the recording of the comments could be used in court because they were made in a bathroom when he was alone and had an expectation of privacy.
Yep.
Now, I would argue you do not have an expectation of privacy when you're wearing a microphone.
You don't have an expectation of privacy when you're in a bathroom?
Not when you're wearing a microphone,
oh,
you don't.
Oh, Dana Wright, come on. You're better than that. You know.
How many times?
You know this is inadmissible.
I disagree. How many times, and I can, it's a lot. It's north of 50 times. Someone would be wearing a lavalier mic that we had interviewed, and they would excuse themselves to go use the restroom or go walk down the hall. 9 out of 10 times, they would say something inappropriate. They would say something they didn't think we could hear.
And you don't think that is perceived off the record?
When you're wearing a microphone?
Yeah.
This is like the Barbara Bush, lean in and just tell me. Just tell me. You're just going to be telling me. What did you call her?
It's just, Connie Chung. It's just you and me.
You really think that there's an expectation of privacy there when you're sitting down with a film crew or Connie Chung leans in and you are mic'd up and there's a camera rolling? Just, it's just between you and me.
I think when you go into a bathroom, there is an expectation of privacy. Yes.
I think when you go into a bathroom and you admit that you've committed murder while wearing a microphone, you do not have the same expectation of privacy you or I would if someone was run-of-the-mill eavesdropping.
Okay. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. This song is 20 years old. Santana with Rob Thomas. A story here from the Kansas City Star. Trevor Baston says he watched a white employee at St. Luke's Hospital call a black coworker Aunt Jemima. The same person repeatedly called Baston, who is black, boy. A nurse practitioner told him she was afraid of big black men. Then, after a biased training, his supervisor's manager told staff to, quote, get over it. Now, these are allegations. All of them lined out in a lawsuit moved to federal court last week that alleges that Trevor Baston's supervisors and other white employees at St. Luke's discriminated against him because he is African American and retaliated against him because he complained. The lawsuit, which was first filed in Jackson County Circuit Court in November, was moved to the federal court in Kansas City. In 8 counts, it accuses St. Luke's Physician Group and St. Luke's Health System of race, color, and sex discrimination, harassment, and retaliation. Baston worked as a medical technician beginning in May of 2017. 3 months into his employment, according to a complaint filed with the Missouri Human Rights Commission, a new manager subjected him to severe and pervasive harassment. Sarah Leeson, one of Baston's attorneys, said her law firm specializes in representing employees who have suffered from discrimination and other employment law violations.
So they did make him undergo sensitivity training, or did they make everyone undergo?
I think they made everybody, the way I read this story.
Okay.
He received a bad review, preventing Baston from getting a raise. In June of 2018, his manager gave him a written warning for assessing his own medical records. Baston told his boss he did not remember doing that. According to the lawsuit, 2 other employees who are white also accessed their medical records but were not reprimanded. The next month, Baston says he was harassed by another employee who repeatedly called him boy, even after Baston explained how that was offensive to a black man. He asked her to call him by his name. She allegedly responded, "You don't know what you are talking about, boy. Be quiet, boy."
Let's take the cell phone aspect of this complaint, okay?
All right.
The lawsuit alleges that his manager told him and another black employee to put their cell phones away. But other employees who were white would watch videos and look at pictures on their phones, and no one said anything. He says when he confronted the manager about it, the manager shook her head and walked away without answering. And you, as a very low-level, not really manager, Scott, what are the rules when it comes, let's say, just to cell phones? And here's why I ask. The comments, and I'm not saying they didn't happen at all, but that's going to be a he said, he said, or a he said, she said. Well, I heard an employee say this, and the employee is going to say, well, I didn't say that.
In fact, the entire lawsuit is really a he said, he or she said.
But when it comes to behavior in an office, it doesn't have to be a hospital, in any employment setting, if you are treating someone differently, with like the cell phone issue, where the 2 black employees were told to put it away, but the white employees were allowed to keep those out, is that enough for a successful discrimination lawsuit?
Are they willing to testify? Because if
the white employees, are they willing to testify? Well, is that what you're asking?
Are the black employees who were told to put their cell phones away, are they willing to testify? If not, you got no case. I am not going to sit here and suggest that racial or sexual discrimination does not occur in the workforce. I believe it does. I believe that people are racially discriminated against, and I believe that people are sexually discriminated against. But if you're going to bring a lawsuit, you damn well better have some proof. Because if I'm sitting on this jury, the way I see it is he said and he said. And without proof, I'm not going to side with you.
So from time to time, this comes up on our show, and I don't remember the exact percentages, but I will look them up. It is very hard to bring a successful discrimination lawsuit. And that does not mean
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen didn't happen in the case that you lose.
That's
right. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
That's exactly right.
Wasn't it fewer than 1%, Scott? We've looked this up before. It is a dramatic,
but if
low percentage of these cases that are successful.
But Dana, if I'm going to blast an employer to the tune of $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, I better have more than you just saying, well, he called me a boy. I'm not saying that that's excusable. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
You have to prove that it happened.
That's right.
So this is just one article from Huffington Post. If you are a woman, a person of color, older or disabled, chances are high that if you fought the law won.
Well, first of all, you're not fighting the law.
Well, they're trying to be clever with their wording.
All right. You're not fighting the government. You're fighting the employer. And if you're going to prove or check that, if you're going to allege that your employer racially discriminated against you, I'm going to need some proof. You're the one bringing the claim. Provide the proof. That's all I ask. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm asking that you prove what you are alleging. And if you're saying that this guy or this company racially was prejudiced against you, all I ask is that you prove it. And if you
what you have to do is prove it, and I think therein lies the problem. It is very rare,
it's very hard,
that you have video, audio, or email, and jurors want to see that, where you have something in front of you that shows a pattern of this type of thing happening.
And, but you would agree, Dana, in a world where cell phones are rampant and can be found in anyone's pocket, it is easier today than it was 30 years ago to prove it. If somebody's calling you boy, record it. Real simple.
It's actually not that simple.
It was a lot harder in 1989, I'll tell you that. 576-7798. Wednesday afternoon. Quick reminder, we're going to be at Bogey's Windy City Pub, 133rd and State Line on Friday from 2 to 6. Be an honor and a privilege to hang out with you on Friday afternoon. Hello. Sam Stevie III. That guy over there is Dan Weinbaum. He's reading the news. Is Rebecca back from her coronavirus tour tomorrow?
I believe so.
She's back tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
She got back in town this morning.
Fully infected and everything's good?
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Okay, good.
Ready to spread
that corona everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that SIDVID-19.
Just going to shake up the bottle and spray it everywhere.
SIDVID.
COVID-19.
He calls it something different every time. Just roll with it.
Where do they even come up with these stupid names? COVID-19.
Co-corona.
Where do they come up with them?
Yeah.
Science.
VI virus, D disease, 2019.
Is that true or not?
That's 100% fact.
No, 19 is the strain number, isn't it?
No, it's the year.
Here we go.
It's the year.
Okay. That's great.
Because it started in December.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah. You know, they name things in science. Mm-hmm. They like to do that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, can we just call it coronavirus? I mean, every time I hear, like, one of the reporters go, COVID-19.
Well,
it reminds
kind of
me.
Like,
hang on. Let me finish.
Okay.
It reminds me of the perfect English speaking reporter who is reporting in from like Havana, Cuba,
the Plaza,
or San Juan, Puerto Rico. And they go, I'm Scott Parks.
Havana, Cuba.
San Juan, Puerto Rico.
San Juan, Puerto Rico.
It bothered you that they would say Henri Paul during Princess Diana's death. And I said to him, well, that's how you, it's not Henry. Henry was the driver. It was Henri because that's how you say the name in French.
Well, but don't go Henri.
Well, that's how they said it, and it drove you crazy.
His name is Henry Paul.
Actually, it's not.
Okay.
Henri.
Like James. You. Henri.
Thank you.
Her name is not Angela Merkel. It's Angela Merkel.
No, I have never heard it pronounced Angela. Ever. Angela.
For those of us who German. Speak English as a first language, it's Angela.
So it's kind of like coronavirus and COVID-19. It's kind of like influenza.
It drives me nuts, man. It just drives me nuts.
It's like influenza and H1N1. Yeah. Okay, influenza, there's a bunch of different strains underneath the umbrella of influenza, just like with coronavirus.
Focus. We don't want Crockett bringing it back here.
Vi-ri-ri.
That's right. Vi-ri-ri to yourself. Crockett.
Which, by the way, and a lot of people don't know this, viri-ri is actually the plural for virus.
We said so.
And a lot of people don't know that.
There's probably a reason they don't know that.
So, I mean, you can have the virus, okay, but if you give it to somebody else, and so the two of you are standing next to each other, you have the viri-ri.
So you would say to your friend there, did you just viri-ri me?
Yes, I did.
Not a verb, but let's go to the phones.
We're turning it into a
Anonymous
verb.
On line two. Hello, Anonymous.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. Thank you.
I don't want to be identified because I work in a small place, but I was listening to what you guys were talking about with these two people saying they had to put their cell phones away and everybody else could play and be on the internet and whatever. Well, at my place, it's whether or not you're in with the boss or not. It has nothing to do with race or age or sex or any of that. It's if you're in the in-group, you never get in trouble for anything. And if you're not, no matter what you're doing, you're in trouble. Just thought.
What do you mean, no matter what you do, you're in trouble?
Well, you're either buddies with the boss or you aren't.
I know, but I mean, you don't
have to... Like the little nitpicky things. If you're not on her side, then you're going to get, no matter if you're doing the right thing most of the time and you do something for a few minutes, but other people can, like, be on screen a lot of time while they're at work and nobody ever says anything to them. Or other things, like they're just not doing their job, period. And they can have their cell phones out, which nobody's supposed to because it's a hospital.
But if your buddy's with the boss, they let that slide.
Right.
Is that true? In a hospital, you're not supposed to have your cell phone out?
In the hospital I work in, because it's a psych unit, and you can take pictures. It's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not surprised by that because of all of the HIPAA privacy issues, Scott. Mm. Here it is. According to an analysis of employment cases, very few employees who file federal job discrimination, harassment, or retaliation claims even make it to court, and only 1% of those claims eventually succeed in court. I remembered that 1% number. Now, some of those might be settled out of court, but a very, very small number make it to court, and of that, only fewer than 1% succeed.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised because it's so hard to prove it, but right. I know that it happens.
I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that racial and sexual discrimination occur. I know it occurs, okay? Not that I've ever participated in it myself, but I'm sure it, I should say I don't know it occurs. I'm sure it occurs. However, if you're going to claim it, you have to be able to prove it. It's like age discrimination. Okay, or wrongful termination. If you're going to claim that this company fired you.
Yeah, because I was 65.
Right. You have to be able to prove that.
And it's impossible. It's almost impossible to prove that.
Right.
Short, again, of having an email that lays it out, which I don't. That rarely exists, that something like that is written down.
Or an overheard conversation where an employee is willing to come forward and say, yep, I heard them say Dana was 55, you're not.
It's time for her to go.
She's getting paid too much, she's too old, blah, blah, blah.
But again, even if it's overheard, That's overheard.
That's hearsay.
And even if someone agrees to testify in your favor, which it's just almost impossible to prove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is. 576-7798.
The El Centro thing Saturday night.
The what?
The El Centro thing.
You like that? You like that? You okay over there?
Saturday night.
I know that you find that so funny.
It is. Come on, it's funny.
I know you do. That was like 6 years ago, and he still laughs about it.
It wasn't that long ago. It's still funny. I'm going to take him cold. Line one, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
And the reason I was calling is with the coronavirus, and I don't know if you're still talking about it because I'm driving.
No, go ahead.
I want you to look up Department of Justice, Dr. Lieber. Have you heard about that yet from Harvard?
Dr. Lieber?
Lieber. It's either L-I-E-B-E-R or L-E-I-B-E-R.
Okay.
From Harvard University. He was just recently arrested. He had two Chinese students working for him. Turned out he was working for Wuhan University. One of the Chinese, quote, students who really shouldn't have been on an H-1B visa tried to smuggle out 10 or more vials of some biological contaminant they were working on. And it's not on any news place.
Well, it was the end. I see this from the Department of Justice. It was at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
And they were charged. They were charged. And we're getting a lot of wind for you there on line one.
Harvard University professor and two other Chinese nationals were federally indicted in three separate cases for allegedly lying to the U.S. about their involvement with China's government, according to the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts. Federal authorities tell reporters the cases highlighted the ongoing threat posed by China using non-traditional collectors like academics and researchers to steal American research and technology. Dr. Charles Lieber, who is 60, is the chair of Harvard's Chemistry and Chemical Biology Department.
Guessing was.
He is accused of lying about working with several Chinese organizations where he collected hundreds of thousands of dollars from Chinese entities. According to the documents, Lieber's research group at Harvard received $15 million in funding, which requires disclosing foreign financial conflicts of interest. Okay. Okay. What do you mean it's not being reported? All I did was type in Dr. Lieberman, or Lieber, beg your pardon, coronavirus, and 1,000 articles popped up.
The Department of Justice in a release January 28th, 2020. And I think part of the reason, what I'm looking at from the DOJ does not say it was 21 vials of anything specific. It says biological research. That could mean a lot of things.
576-7798, 576-7798. Oh, by the way, we're going to do Worst Joke Wednesday coming up. Worst Joke Wednesday when we get back. So send in your terrible but arable jokes to 22980. Your terrible but arable jokes to 22980. Worst Joke Wednesday when we come back.
Speaking on condition of anonymity. Anonymity tells the Associated Press.
Anonymity.
Thank you. Okay, never mind.
Because I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun.
Get on the text line, boys. It is Worst Joke Wednesday. Hey, Sam.
What's that, Scott?
You know, your mom is so ugly. Your daddy takes her to work so he doesn't have to kiss her goodbye.
Hey, Scott.
Dan.
What does a slug say when it gets on a turtle's back?
What does a slug say when it gets on a turtle's back? I don't know.
The slug says, "Wee!" Slug, turtle.
Slug. If you have to explain it.
Well, for you, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott.
Oh, Sam. Yeah, buddy. What's up?
Why does Snoop Dogg carry around an umbrella?
I don't know.
Faux drizzle.
All right, stop.
Did you know, Scott, that the oldest computer can be traced back to Adam and Eve?
I didn't know that.
It was an Apple, but with extremely limited memory. Just one byte, and then everything crashed.
Get out.
Hey, Sam.
Oh.
What's that, Dan?
What did the elephant say to the naked man?
I don't know.
How do you breathe through that?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wait, say that one again.
I don't know that we want to repeat that one again.
Yeah, don't run that back.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, Scott.
You know, your mama's so fat.
Really?
Yeah. She went dancing, and the band skipped. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah,
you remember that Adam and Eve joke?
I'm sorry, say again?
You remember that Adam and Eve joke?
Which one?
The one you just told. Well, they were the first people that didn't read the Apple terms and conditions. His which one threw me off. I'm sorry.
What?
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Dana, what's up?
I hate how funerals are always at 9 a.m.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not really a morning person.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
You know, your mama's so ugly that when she tried on a Nike shirt, it said, "Don't do it." Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Dana.
Why did the gym close down?
I don't know. Why did the gym close down?
It just didn't work out.
Oh. Hey, Scott.
Sam, what's up, man?
What is a kidnapper's favorite shoe?
I don't know.
White Vans.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Scott?
What do you call a camel with no humps?
Well, I don't know.
Humphrey.
Wow.
Oh.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
Your mama's so ugly that when Bob the Builder saw her, he said, "I can't fix that."
That's terrible.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Dan.
Why does Orion's belt only have 3 stars?
I don't know, Dan. Why does Orion's belt only have 3 stars?
Well, some say it's just a waste of space.
Hey, Scott.
Dana, yeah, what's up?
Why did the coffee file a police report?
Why did the coffee
mm-hmm.
file a police? I have no idea.
It was mugged.
Hey, Scott.
Dan.
Did you hear that the world champion tongue twister got arrested the other day?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I hear they're going to give him a tough sentence.
Hey, Scott.
Sam.
What
this
did the-
is 3 in a row for me. Wow. Sam, yeah, what's up, buddy?
You're popular. What did the triangle say to the circle?
What did the triangle say to the... I don't know.
You're pointless.
Wow. Hey, Sam.
What's that, Dana?
I got into a fight the other day with 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, the odds were against me.
Oh. Mm. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Dan.
Why do cows wear bells?
Why do cows wear bells?
Because their horns don't work.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Sam.
What is the least spoken language in the world?
I don't know, Sam. What is the least spoken language in the world?
Wait, should we not say this?
No, it's fine.
Sign language.
Oh, my God.
What? Well, it's not spoken.
It's not spoken, technically. It's not spoken.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Dan?
What is Forrest Gump's password?
Oh, I don't know.
1 Forrest 1.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Dana.
A Roman walks into a bar, holds up 2 fingers, and says, 5 beers, please.
Oh, that good old Roman humor.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Sam.
What did the duck say when she bought some lipstick?
I don't know. What did the duck say when she bought some lipstick?
I just put it on my bill.
Hey, Sam.
Wow.
What's that, Scott?
What did the drummer call his twin daughters?
Well, I don't know. What did he call his twin daughters?
And a one and a two.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Dana.
Welcome to Plastic Surgery Addicts Anonymous. I'm seeing a lot of new faces in the crowd this week. I have to say I'm really disappointed.
Hey, Scott, did you know?
No, Dan, I didn't.
I got pulled over for drunk driving the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I told the police officer, I'm not drunk, I'm just avoiding potholes.
Hey, Scott. Oh, wait, you just got one. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
What do you call a magical dog?
What do you call a magical dog?
A labracadabrador.
Kudos for being able to say that one.
All right, are we done?
Hey, Scott.
Damn it. Sam, what's up, man?
What do you call a man with no arms and no legs?
No arms and no legs. I don't know.
Matt.
Wow. Hey, Dano.
Yes, Dan.
What do you give to a sick lemon?
What do you give to a sick lemon?
Lemonade.
Wow.
We're done.
That's pretty good.
We're done.
So bad.
We're going to be at Bogey's Windy City Pub on Friday afternoon from 2 to 6.
We'll not be bringing those jokes with us.
God, no. Nope.
Mm-mm. Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.